Anna, Victoria and Charlotte are three sisters with very different characters. Anna, the eldest, is looking forward to getting her life back again after years of looking after the elderly parents, but the arrival of her two sisters and their respective partners is about to change all that.
No Commitments by Simon Brett, starring Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget as Victoria, Celia Imrie as Charlotte, and Maxine Audley as Delia. Episode 1, Sisters of Mercy.
There's no two ways about it.
Anna needs help.
Well, I know, but...
Emily, will you close that door?
Charlotte, it's just too easy for us to go on leading our own lives and forgetting about Anna.
No, I agree, but...
We must make an effort.
Vicky, ever since I can remember you've been telling me to make an effort, I'm sick to death of it.
Well, it's something that has to be done in life.
No, it isn't. It's something that has to be done by people who are too uptight to face anything without making an effort.
Charlotte... Anna is in a much worse situation than either of us.
Yes, she must be.
We're younger than she is, for a start. Then I have the children, and Roger, and you have Giselle, and all your lovers.
Patrick is the only man I've seen for the last 4 months, so I hardly think that...
No, no, fine.
And you didn't mention the fact that I also have my work.
Well, there seems to be so little of that.
Listen, I know it's hard for someone from Beckenham to understand how the theatre works, but...
It's all right. All I'm saying is that we're lucky. In our different ways, you and I have... people, relationships, fulfillment. Whereas now Daddy's dead, poor Anna.
Poor Anna.
Poor Anna has nothing in her life.
More of the elderflower, Anna.
Well,
Oh, come on. I brought it over to be drunk.
You won me round, Delia.
This stuff's the reason for my longevity, you know.
Really? Does your doctor agree with that?
Well, he hasn't got any other explanation. Doctors spend their professional lives in a state of permanent, unruffled bewilderment, interrupted by occasional surprises when their patients get better, or more often die.
As a matter of interest, have you ever told the doctor how much of the elderflower you actually do knock back?
Good heavens, no. No, if he knew, he'd probably do something dreadful, like unleash a social worker on me. Anyway, the elderflower does me nothing but good. I'll have you know, my liver is the liver of a 20-year-old.
But up in your attic is the real one, poor Dorian liver, shriveled down to the size of a walnut.
Quite possibly. No, drinking's like anything else. You have to keep in training. It's only when you stop that you come unstuck. Same with sex.
Ah, so your constant plying me with the elderflower is simply a way of getting me in training, is that it?
Exactly. For your own good.
How thoughtful of you.
Ah, there are many worse ways of spiralling down to the grave than pickled in elderflower wine.
I'm sure there are.
In fact, most of my late friends found worse ways.
Yes.
Your father had it sorted out, though.
Maybe.
Oh, he did. Stephen always had women around to look after him. Your mother, all the girlfriends.
Yes.
And then you.
Yes.
I miss him.
Oh.
Mind you. If you'd lived next door to a grain silo for 18 years and then they demolished it, you'd probably miss that.
Yes.
Oh, still feels a bit empty without him. You rattling round it like a pea in a barrel. Doesn't it feel empty to you?
Without Daddy? Oh, yes, it feels empty. But very peaceful.
Patrick, this is me, Lottie, speaking after the turn, okay?
Weren't you there, you beast?
If you're off with one of your little friends from your teleseries, I will find out about it. Understand? Anyway, ring me as soon as possible. A, I want to see you. Could do with a cuddle. And B, I need an alibi for this weekend. Vicky, you know my sister, the dreary one who lives in Beckenham, is trying to drag me out into the wilds of Father's Kent to visit the other sister, Anna. Help, please. You know, I can't stand the country. So think of something, Patrick, okay? Lot is relying on you. And incidentally, I've got Giselle mopped up staying with a friend for the weekend in case I did have to go to Kent, so you could come round to Pimlico and we could have a nice self-indulgent time. Hmm? Ring me. Bye.
Right. So, Roger, that's a stew which I'll put in the freezer for Sunday lunch, assuming I do go, which I think I will, all right? I mean, I haven't actually run Annie yet, but I can't imagine she'll have anything else on at the weekend. And look, don't forget Harriet's cello lesson on Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. And see, she does some practice on Friday, at least half an hour. Oh, and if Benji has one of his throats, give him 2 teaspoons full of cowpole straight away, right? And make sure you've got some Ribena ready to take the taste away. Got that? And 11:30 is the absolute deadline for Emily to be back on Saturday night. I'm sorry to go through all this now, Roger, but you're working late so much these days that we don't often get a chance for a proper conversation, do we? Roger?
I'm going to attack that rockery at the weekend.
Your father's rockery. What are you going to do with it?
Remove it. I never liked it.
Stephen loved it.
Yes, and while he was around to love it, it stayed. Now I think I'm going to build a summer house there. I've always wanted a summer house.
Did you ever tell Stephen that?
Oh, yes, but... Well, you remember Daddy, Delia. Usually got his own way about things.
I often wonder how your mother put up with being married to him. I couldn't have stuck it.
But you couldn't have stuck being married to anyone.
True.
Anyway, what in particular would have got you down about Daddy? The fact that he was unfaithful?
No, the fact that he was impossible. Oh, come on. You looked after him for 14 years. You know he was impossible.
Yes. Still, somebody had to look after him.
And you, with your overdeveloped sense of responsibility, drew the short straw.
It wasn't like that. You see, I'd never had any illusions about him. I did actually enjoy his company. He could be very entertaining.
Oh, yes, for a while.
And then... Well, Mummy asked me to.
Ah.
She knew how hopeless he'd be on his own, and so she asked me, and I told her I would.
Do you resent that?
Well, I have done at times.
No?
No. I never believed in regret, pointless emotion. What happened, happened. And now I feel good. For the first time, I can get on with my life without thinking about any other member of the family. Oh, hello, Victoria.
Bastard didn't even ring me.
Patrick?
Of course, bloody Patrick. I was going to tell him I had to go away for the weekend for a family emergency, and then...
Hardly an emergency, Charlotte.
Well, you were the one that made it sound like an emergency. Anyway, I didn't get the chance to tell him because he didn't ring.
Well, couldn't you have rung him?
Of course I tried. No reply. Probably off with one of his little dancer friends.
Don't think about it.
You know, every time I go out on this road, I feel the prison walls closing in.
Don't be ridiculous, Charlotte. We're going out into the country, into the wide open spaces.
I feel trapped in the wide open spaces. Put me somewhere where all I can see out of the window is the next building, preferably not more than a yard away, and I feel secure.
You're just being perverse. I feel my heart get lighter with every mile I put between myself and London. And so should you.
I'm sure I would. I was getting away from what you're getting away from.
Look, I know you've never liked Roger.
I didn't say anything about Roger.
No, but I know what you were getting at. You were going...
Thicky. We should have come in 2 cars, you know.
No, we shouldn't. We have to think of the environment.
Look, one extra car driving from London to Kent isn't going to make a major contribution to global warming.
If everyone thought like that, most of Kent would be underwater by the end of the century.
As far as I'm concerned, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Charlotte, don't be flippant.
I wasn't being flippant, I meant it.
Anyway, what would be the advantage of having 2 cars?
Oh, just if I had to get back to town in a hurry.
Oh, if Patrick rang, you mean.
Anyway, in my own car, I could at least be travelling at a reasonable speed. You're driving as if there's an invisible hearse in front of us.
Driving at a steady 50 conserves fuel.
Oh, great, lucky old Ken.
Charlotte! Charlotte, we ought to be thinking what practical suggestions we're going to make to help Anna out of the mess she's got herself.
Yes. I think the bastard bastard didn't even ring me.
Victoria, Charlotte, good to see
Hello,
you.
Hello, darling.
You made good time. Come on in.
Now, Anna, you're to leave everything to us.
What?
This weekend's to be a proper break for you. We just want you to put your feet up.
But I don't want to put my feet up.
It's different. Not as gloomy as it used to be. It's been painted.
Yes.
What, you got the decorators in?
No, I did it.
Good Lord.
Now, do come through into the sitting room and I'll get you a drink.
Oh, what welcome words those are. You've no idea what kind of a...
Do you mind if I just check on the kids, Anna? I won't be a moment.
No, go ahead.
Oh, come along, Roger, for his sake. Don't say you've fallen asleep in front of the television again.
Oh, this is bliss.
Sorry, this place always has that effect on me.
Yes.
Every time I came down when Mummy and Daddy were alive, I used to sleep most of the weekend.
And when you came down after Mummy died?
Yes. Oh, poor.
Oh, I don't think that's very difficult to answer.
No?
No. You found it easier than being awake.
So, Anna, tell me everything. Everything you've been up to. Every last detail.
How are things?
Fine.
Good.
As I said, I've had a hell of a week.
Giselle started an intensive tap dancing class, and then I was meant to be having this interview for a revival of the Simon Gray play with this rather cute director called Malcolm, but the whole thing escalated into the most... And then Malcolm, who's a real sweetie, said he felt utterly sick about it because I had done easily the best reading, but the producer was a star-struck idiot who insisted on having names with a bit of marquee value, and the upshot once again was that in spite of anything Malcolm could have said...
Well, they all seem to be all right. I don't know. Roger's so hopeless. Benji's complaining of a stiff neck. But Roger seems unable to tell how bad it is. I mean, the child could have just sat in a draft, or it could be the onset of meningitis. It's impossible to say.
Can I get you a drink?
No, let me do that. I want you just to put your feet up this week.
Victoria, A, I don't want to put my feet up, and B, I like to act as hostess in my own house.
Oh.
Funny to think of this as your house, isn't it?
Well, you two got the money, I got the house. You seemed quite happy about the arrangement when we talked it through with Daddy.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm not unhappy about it.
This is funny, that's all.
Well, funny or not, that's how it is. This is my house.
But you'll sell it, of course.
No, I won't.
But Anna, dear, it's far too big just for you.
That's for me to decide, I'd have thought.
Oh, yes, of course, you decide. But there is only one decision that you could possibly make.
I'm absolutely whacked. I must just put my feet up before supper.
Oh, now, supper. I brought one of my chicken and leek pies. It'll just need heating up.
There is a cassoulet in the oven which will be ready in half an hour.
Cassoulet? But that takes days.
I've known you were coming for days.
Yes, I suppose you have. I did bring one of my pavlovas for afters.
I've made a Dutch apple pie, Victoria.
Oh.
Well, look. I think I will take advantage of that half an hour before we eat because I'm absolutely wiped out.
Fine.
My old room, I assume.
Of course.
Are my little cuddlies still on the bed?
No, they're in the cupboard on the landing.
Yeah. They always used to stay on my bed when Daddy was alive.
Yes, but we very rarely had people to stay when Daddy was alive.
You've had people to stay? In my bedroom?
At the risk of repeating myself, Charlotte, this is my house.
Yes! Yes, but...
A house, what's more, in which you haven't lived for over 20 years, and which you've only visited twice in the last 5 years.
Well, yeah, I agree. Oh, I must go. Give me a shout when supper's ready.
Will do.
Now, Anna, about selling the house...
Delia will be joining us for dinner.
Delia? What, the old girl with the elderflower wine from next door?
The very same.
Oh. I've always thought she was rather peculiar.
You've never really met her.
No. Do you see a lot of her?
Quite a lot, yes.
Hmm. It's strange, Anna.
I don't know anything about your social circle, do I?
No, you don't.
I mean, the people you see, the friends you spend your time with.
No.
Still, now I've got a whole weekend to catch up on all your news.
Yes. How is Roger?
Oh, well, you know, he's Roger. I mean, Roger's Roger. That's about all there is to say on the subject.
All there is to say? You surprise me.
Well, the thing about Roger is that it's almost as if he's not there most of the time. I mean, I've got used to him acting as if I didn't exist. But it's just the same with Emily, Harriet and Benji. Half the time, one would imagine that Roger wasn't part of the family at all. And Roger said absolutely nothing when I came back. And is that really such a lot to ask? Just that he should make some comment after I'd had the highlights done?
No, I think you were...
It did look different. It did make me look younger, even I could see that. But what do I get from Roger? Absolutely nothing as usual. I mean, a woman does need some feedback, doesn't she?
Yes, but couldn't you...
I really think he does think of me as just a piece of furniture. A battered old armchair that's been around the house so long he's stopped noticing it.
Look, Victoria.
Well, no. Not like an armchair, really. He would at least touch an armchair. Where's with me?
Good evening. I let myself in as usual.
Delia, you remember Victoria?
Of course. Nice to see you again.
Sorry. I've got a bit of a cold. Good to see you, Delia.
Where's the spoilt brat?
If you're referring to Emily, Harriet or Benji...
No, I didn't mean yours.
Oh, you meant Giselle. Well,
yes. I meant Charlotte.
Oh, well, I see your point.
Assume she's taken to her bed as usual.
Yes, she has, actually. Can I get you a drink?
Won't have any of that, thanks. Stick with the elderflower. Brought a bottle. So, how are you, young Victoria?
Oh, splendid. Tip-top form.
And that husband of yours? Roger, isn't it?
Yes.
Lively as ever?
Oh, you bet.
Mmm. That was delicious.
Thank you.
Don't sound so surprised, Charlotte. Anna's got quite a reputation locally as a cook.
Have you, Anna? If Delia says so, I must have.
Oh, yes. Her dinner parties are famous. People fight to get on the invitation list.
Really? I didn't know you gave dinner parties, Anna.
There's quite a lot you don't know about me, Charlotte.
I suppose there is.
You've never taken a great deal of interest in what goes on down here.
Oh, well, it's not London, is it?
No. Thank God. You still think everything important happens in London, don't you?
Well,
don't you? Never see any point in the country, could you?
Oh, I can see it has it. Well, I mean, I've lots of chums who have places outside town for the weekend. I've had some jolly good times there.
With other Londoners bust in for the occasion.
Hmm?
Yeah, I don't mind people having different opinions. I mean, if you like the country, if you don't like the country, it's fine by me. Even if that means you thinking people in the country are somehow less developed or lead less fulfilled lives than people in London.
I never said that.
But you've always thought it.
Well, all right. Maybe.
Since the subject of fulfillment's come up, Anna...
Yes?
Charlotte and I have been very worried about you.
Oh, Victoria, I'm touched. Why?
Well, you know Daddy died 6 months ago.
I do know that. I was here at the time.
Yes, yes.
Which neither of you were.
No, well, we didn't know it was going to happen so suddenly. Anyway, I had this desperately important interview for a revival of an Arnold Wesker play.
No one's blaming you, Charlotte.
No.
Except possibly yourself.
Well, anyway, Victoria, you were on the verge of saying something about me and fulfillment.
Yes, well, as I said, Daddy's been dead for 6 months.
And, as I said, I'm fully aware of that.
Hmm. Yes, and, well, you're in the house now on your own.
I'm fully aware of that, too.
And, well, it must be a shock.
A shock?
Yes, Daddy dying. Daddy not being here anymore and you being on your own. You're not married, you don't have any children, you don't live with anyone.
Are you two proposing to spend the whole weekend telling Anna things she already knows?
No, it's all right, Delia. I think I see what they're getting at. It's not my fulfilment they're on about. It's my lack of fulfilment.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm so glad you've got the point at last.
Well, I have some good news for you. I don't feel unfulfilled.
But you must do.
Yes, you must. I mean, you've never been married.
You haven't got any children.
You don't live with anyone.
You were right, Delia. They are proposing to spend the entire weekend telling me things I already know.
No, but listen,
you
Anna.
Listen, Victoria. And you, Charlotte. No, I haven't got the fulfillment of a husband and matching set of children as you have, Victoria. And no, I haven't got the fulfillment of playing femme fatale for a series of lovers as you have, Charlotte.
Now, that's not fair.
But I do feel very deeply the fulfillment of being me on my own. My own person who, at this stage in my life, owes nothing to anyone else. I have no obligations to another single human being. And those commitments I have are ones that I've chosen voluntarily, not ones that have been imposed on me by marriage or family considerations.
But surely, Anna, you can see that you're the victim.
I don't feel a victim of anything, Victoria. If you're of the belief that we're all put on this earth to fulfill certain family responsibilities, well, then I've already given. I looked after Mummy and Daddy. And I don't say this in any spirit of emotional blackmail or even of regret. I enjoyed their company, but now they're both dead. Daddy, as you seem so very insistent on telling me, only 6 months ago. I think it's ironic, actually, that you should talk to me about the shock of his death. You two may have been shocked, I wasn't. I'd had over 20 years of preparation for that inevitable moment.
Yes,
but nothing, Victoria. I feel I have discharged all the obligations I ever need to discharge. For the first time in my life, I have no commitments, and I am going to enjoy every minute that's left to me.
That's probably Roger.
Oh, it might be Patrick.
Thank you, but it's much more likely to be for me. This is my house, you know.
Well.
Girls, what you must never do in any dealings with Anna is to mistake stillness for passivity.
And I hope you really don't mind us going a day early.
No, it's fine. It's probably sensible to check that Benji really is okay.
Yes, well, Roger's so hopeless about medical things. About most things, actually.
Yes, of course. And, Charlotte, I do hope there's something from Patrick on the answer phone when you get back.
Oh, I'm not bothered.
No. Well, otherwise, of course, you could give a call to that director you mentioned.
Malcolm? Well, that is a thought.
He might be free for a drink tonight.
Yes, he might.
And of course the friends who are looking after Giselle are not expecting you back till tomorrow, are they?
No. That's true. Thank you, Anna.
Yes, thank you for everything, Anna. It's been lovely. We'll see you soon.
Yes.
Very soon, darling.
I'm so glad to see you're coping.
Oh, yes, I'm coping.
Anna, you're very brave.
Thank you, Victoria.
Bye!
Bye!
Well, I think we can give ourselves a little pat on the back there, Charlotte. I really think we did some good.
Oh, no question.
Hello?
It's me.
Have they gone?
Yes. I thought the moment would never arrive, but they have actually finally gone. And do you know, Delia, I don't think it's too early for a drop of the old elder flower.
In Sisters of Mercy by Simon Brett, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, Celia Imrie, Charlotte, and Maxine Audley, Delia. The music was composed by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. No Commitments was produced by Paul Schlesinger.